from Illinois Public Media. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The West Central Illinois community of Beardstown in Cass County is home to about 6,000 people. It's got multiple major businesses: Dot Foods, North America's largest food industry redistributor, and JBS, the world's largest meat processing company. Over the years, several hundred immigrants have come to work for those companies in Beardstown, and to be clear, with legal permission. But as the Trump administration changes immigration policy, many of those people have had their humanitarian parole taken away, leaving them without authorization to be in America, without work, and wondering what happens next. Beardstown has been revived in the past few decades because so many immigrants have come there to work, but now as the city faces an uncertain future, and so does the country's food supply change. Juan Vasallo has been reporting on this for the nonprofit newsroom Investigate Midwest. His article came out earlier this month. It's called "Immigrants Helped Save This Illinois Meatpacking Town. Trump Cut Hundreds from Its Workforce." Juan joins me now to talk more about his reporting. Juan Vasallo, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, we'll be talking with Juan for about the next 15 minutes. We want to know what role immigrants play in your local economy. And what do you think of the changes to immigration policy under the second Trump administration? And what do you think those changes will mean for the broader economy? 800-222-9455 is the number. All right, Juan, it's really in the past few decades that Beardstown got to be more of a hub for immigrant workers. How did that happen?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know how far back you want me to go, but as I mentioned in my story, Beardstown agricultural history has been shaped by immigration for nearly two centuries. So the first immigrants were Dutch immigrants who settled in Native American land in the early 19th century. They brought their knowledge and skills to draining the marshlands. And then came a variety of other European settlers like British and German. By the 1830s, Beardstown had become a key river port, and one of its main industries was pork. So at one point, Beardstown slaughtered more hogs than Chicago, and it earned the nickname Porkopolis. That's how big the pork industry was already. And so then Beardstown has somewhat of a consistent industrial rise that continued into the mid-20th century. And it was then that in 1967, Oscar Mayer opened a large meatpacking plant, employing over 800 workers, most of them white men from the area. And jobs there were great. They were stable, unionized, and paid well. But the 1980s, however, it marks a significant turn in the history of the town, as it did for most of the Midwest. So industry consolidation, weakened labor unions, and automation led to lower wages. And eventually, Oscar Mayer couldn't compete with the other meatpackers in the area, and it closed its plant in 1987. So then, by then, Beardstown had already lost hundreds of jobs from other factory shutdowns, and the town had lost a lot of its population. So Cargill, which is the largest privately owned company in the country, eventually bought the facility that same year, but it reopened it under a new model, so cutting wages and benefits. So the problem was that Cargill couldn't keep its workers. By the mid-1990s, the plant labor turnover had reached almost 100%. So Cargill had to look elsewhere to build its workforce. So what they did was start sending recruiters to the Texas-Mexico border. And that's how the first non-white, non-European immigrants started coming to Beardstown in the mid-1990s.
And what effect did those immigrants have on the town's economy? Like you said, this town, like a lot of towns in the Midwest, had kind of fallen on a little bit harder times because of the sort of deindustrialization, if you will.
Yeah, so it transformed the town completely. So the plant's workforce went from nearly all white to one with dozens of nationalities and languages. And the town itself went from a declining town, with shuttered storefronts and an aging population, to a multicultural town. So you can say, you know, it is, you can say that migrants revitalize the town.
What are some of the challenges that people faced in their home countries that led them to leave there to come and choose to do this work? It is still pretty difficult work in Beardstown, as you say, for lower pay than people would have gotten a couple of generations ago.
Yeah, so the migrants that I interviewed when I was in Beardstown, a lot of them were from Cuba, Haiti. These are places that have gone through big humanitarian crisis in recent years. Haiti, in particular, there is a lot of gang violence. Gangs have overtaken the country. And so a lot of these people are fleeing persecution at home. And a lot, of course, like most migrants are coming here looking for a better life, looking for the American dream and more opportunities. And Beardstown, for a lot of them, was that. So another factor is that they were aware, a lot of migrants are aware of the hostility that immigrants are facing in the country right now. So they wanted to make sure that they came here legally, and they did. But now Trump ended a lot of those programs that allow them to come here legally.
Yeah, and maybe talk about that. How, because I think that there is a sort of people might assume sometimes that you see workers in a town doing jobs like this that they don't have legal status, but these workers did. What were the policies that allowed that?
Yeah, so the focus of my story was the humanitarian parole programs. So parole is a legal tool that allows individuals to enter the US temporarily for urgent humanitarian reasons. So what I was just talking about, that's going on in Cuba and Haiti. Biden, during the pandemic, he created a program specifically for Cubans, Haitians, Venezuelans, and Nicaraguans that allowed someone from those countries who has a financial sponsor in the US to enter the country legally. And then he also used the parole authority for people at the border, some people who had an interview with CBP. Some of them qualified to enter the country through humanitarian parole. And the idea is that once they're in the country, they can apply for asylum. And while they wait for asylum, they're allowed to work through this parole program. Then there was TPS, which is temporary protected status, which was for people who were already in the country and are afraid to go back home for the same reasons. So the country allowed them to stay temporarily in the country legally and be able to work. Well, now Trump ended all of those programs. So a lot of those people are suddenly undocumented and out of work.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation if you're just joining us. It's the 21st show. We are talking about Beardstown, a city of about 6,000 people in Cass County in west central Illinois. And we're talking about the role immigrants have played in revitalizing the city and what's changing under the second Trump administration and how we could see the effects of that in Beardstown and beyond. We're talking with Juan Vassallo, a reporter for the nonprofit newsroom Investigate Midwest. He wrote about this in an article called Immigrants Help Save This Illinois Meatpacking Town. Trump cut hundreds from its workforce. We'll have a link to it on our website, 21stshow.org. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. All right, Juan, you mentioned the president is sort of revoke this parole, is changing these policies. What is supposed to happen to people when that, happens? Are they supposed to book a flight back to Cuba right away, or what is the reality on the ground for how people are experiencing these changes?
Yeah, that is going to vary from person to person. The immigration system is extremely complex. So, for example, the Cuban couple that I interviewed for my story, they would probably be able to stay in the country through the Cuban Adjustment Act, which is a 1960s law that allows Cubans that have been physically present in the US for at least a year to become permanent residents. But as I said, it's gonna be different for each immigrant. But a lot of them, what the Trump administration is encouraging to do is to self-deport. That is the aim of the Trump administration.
Are they subject to being sort of swept up by masked agents, as we've seen happening in other parts of Illinois and around the country?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, that is already happening.
What do people say about how they're thinking about, I mean, is there fear? Was there fear among the people you spoke with?
Yes, there is a lot of fear. A lot of people, regardless of legal status, they're afraid to leave their houses. They canceled the Mexican Independence Day celebration that they do every year because of fear due to ICE raids. But a lot of people are not afraid, and they've seen raids before Trump. So a lot of people, are fighting back and are refusing to, not living their normal lives.
Yeah. What other sort of legal options do people have? You mentioned, there's a law that applies just to people from Cuba. Are there other things like that, or do people have sort of legal recourse in these situations?
Yeah, but like I said, I'm not an immigration
Yeah,
lawyer, so
fair.
that is extremely complex, and yeah, it will depend on each case, and there are different laws. But from the people that I interview, this couple was trying to stay with the through the Cuban Adjustment Act, but other people they do not have options, and they're just waiting to see what's happened.
I wonder how much Trump's immigration policies are having or not having their intended effect from what you saw happening in Beardstown.
So I think until recently there was a lot of fear and uncertainty about the potential impact of Trump's policies, particularly on the country's food supply chain, and particularly when it comes to tariffs and immigration. But I think we're starting to see some of those consequences of the administration's policies. So in Beardstown, well, obviously a lot of people are now out of work. Because of the cancellation of parole programs. But from the employer perspective, a lot of larger food companies like meatpackers, we're seeing that these corporations and trade groups are pushing for an expansion of H-2A and H-2B visas, which are visa programs meant to fill temporary jobs when there aren't enough American workers, which is a little bit ironic because that goes against this administration's America First agenda. So the H-2A program has a well-documented history of wage theft, abuse, and poor living conditions. And, that will bring foreign workers instead of seeing better jobs for domestic workers.
What effects could this potentially have beyond, I mean, as we look at the food supply chain, right? Could consumers see the effects of these policies in the months and years to come?
So there is this, excuse me, there's a bipartisan immigration advocacy group called Forward US, and they are predicting that the cancellation of parole programs, along with other immigration policies, are expecting to increase food and beverages prices by 14% between 2024 and 2028. So that's a steep increase on top of existing inflation. And then, for farmers, for example, we're seeing the impacts of tariffs already. China stopped buying soybeans from the US, and a lot of farmers are having to put those crops in storage. And according to some trade groups, the situation is so concerning that they're warning of a looming financial crisis.
Yeah, I would encourage our listeners, if you want to learn more about that, we talked about that just yesterday on the program, the issues plaguing farmers this year. Just a couple of minutes left. I don't know if this came up in your reporting, but one thing I look at, I looked up the Cass County election results from last year. President Trump got 70, almost 71% of the vote. Vice President Harris got a little over 27%, so 71 to 27, roughly. I wonder if if the people who are living there, what do they think their neighbors think of them? And again, just about 30 seconds remaining in our time together. Are people reckoning with that idea that maybe they're not as welcome as they thought they might have been?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Beersan has a long history of racial tensions. When Cargill started bringing in the first Mexican workers, there was a protest by the KKK. Then the first Mexican family that bought a house in one of the nearby towns was set on fire by the neighbors. So there had been a lot of tensions. And I think now with the Trump administration has reignited some of those tensions that for a long time weren't there, because the community has been pretty integrated by a few decades now. So yes.
All right. Juan Vassallo is a reporter with Investigate Midwest. We'll have a link to his article called "Immigrants Help Save This Illinois Meatpacking Town. Trump Cut Hundreds from Its Workforce." We'll have a link to that at our website, 21stshow.org. Juan, thank you for being with us. More to come after a moment. This is the 21st Show.